A new novel is making a case for paper and ink in the digital age. It's called Gould's Book of Fish, a novel in 12 fish. In it, Tasmanian author Richard Flanagan tells the story of a convict in a brutal penal colony, and he tells it in a way authors have dreamed about for centuries. From New York, Tom Vitale reports.
Gould's Book of Fish begins with a fascination with a book.
My wonder upon discovering the Book of Fish remains with me yet, luminous as the phosphorescent marbling that seized my eyes that strange morning, glittering as those eerie swirls that coloured my mind and enchanted my soul, which there and then began the process of unravelling my heart, and worse still, my life into the poor, scraggy skein that is this story you are about to read.
The story that follows is the 1828 journal of William Bulow Gould, discovered by the modern-day narrator who finds the book in a junk shop. It describes Gould's life and times in a Tasmanian penal colony in colonial Australia through a wildly scrawled diary accompanied by a dozen paintings of fish. Author Richard Flanagan says the novel was inspired by a real book by a convict of the same name.
I actually came across an exquisite volume of 28 watercolour paintings of fish that had been made by this convict forger nearly 200 years ago in Tasmania. And they struck me as at once very beautiful and quite comic. And they had this Hieronymus Bosch-type quality about them. And it was as though he'd tried to smuggle into these images the horror and suffering, and yet this redemptive humour with it of the convict society around him.
In Flanagan's novel, the hero is writing from a kind of torture chamber, a cell on the beach that floods each day at high tide. Forced to paint portraits of local fish by the prison surgeon for a marine life study, Gould manages to incorporate his own journal, and the fish represent characters in his story.
Next to my paintings, I intend to make a bonfire of words, say anything if it illuminates a paltry moment of truth in my poor pictures. I am William Bulow Gould, and I mean to paint for you as best I can, which is but poorly, which is but a rude man's art, the sound of water on stone, the fool's dream of the hard giving way to the soft, and I hope you will come to see, reflected in my translucent watercolours, not patches of the white cartridge paper beneath, but the very opacity of the souls themselves.
Gould writes with a sharp quill on paper smuggled in by a guard. For ink, he uses whatever is at hand, black from a cuttlefish, purple from a ground sea urchin, his own brown excrement, and his own red blood. The text of Flanagan's novel is printed in 6 corresponding colors, part of a response, says the author, to the idea that books are a thing of the past.
Particularly when I began writing this book 3 or 4 years ago, there was that mania with the net, with computer games and so on, that this is where all creativity was going, and I still wished, I wanted to show with this book what a lie that was. I wanted to show that books still had all these new creative possibilities, that within one book there still remained implicit the universe.
The colored ink is not just a gimmick, it amplifies the story. The blood-red chapters speak of murderous passion. The sea urchin purple passages tell of the grand delusions of the mad warden in ornate purple prose. Flanagan says he's not the first author to want to write in color.
You know, you have such things as the Book of Kells, Sufi illuminated manuscripts, Blake's wonderful editions. And although there's a great advance with the steam press with the advent of mass literacy, we lose this larger ambition that books had. And it's an idea that haunts writers for the next 2 centuries. Joyce dreamt of books in colours. Faulkner writes to Malcolm Cowley asking if The Sound and the Fury can be printed up in different colours. But it's only now and only just that the technology is such that we can actually produce a book using colour at a price people can afford.
Just barely.
He said, I want to put a 4-color illustration of the fish at the opening of each chapter, and I want the novel printed in 6 different colored inks. And I said to myself, he's out of his mind. I'll have to talk him out of this later.
Morgan Entrekin is the president of Grove Press, Flanagan's American publisher.
I went to some of the North American printers, and none of them even wanted to attempt it. It was so difficult. And also the prices that they were quoting me were prohibitive. I would have had to charge $50 for the novel.
The author insisted, and Entrekin found a way to cut costs and make it happen. The books are printed overseas. Readers are paying $3 more than if the book were printed in standard ink. The author took a smaller royalty, and the publisher cut his profit margin. The multi-hued pages tell a tale colored by the teller, a liar by trade who takes the opiate laudanum and who may be insane. The fragmented narrative technique might be called postmodern, but Richard Flanagan says his inspiration came from an earlier tradition.
There's a lot of novels coming out these days that they're well crafted, they're well written, they're well edited, they're just intolerable in their total lack of passion and their lack of playfulness. And prior to the 19th century, you have all these wild, mad novels. They don't really care about character or story, but they're trying to say things and they're trying to entertain. And there's a largeness of spirit about them, be it Swift, be it Rabelais, be it Sterne with Tristram Shandy, be it Cervantes. And so I wanted to try and find a way back to that.
With his con man hero, Flanagan had the perfect vehicle for his story. All that's known about the real-life Gould is that he painted these fish and that he was in jail for forgery. Flanagan says the con man of his novel was informed by his experience with another criminal, John Friedrich.
A man who turned out to be Australia's greatest corporate criminal of the 80s. He embezzled several hundred million dollars from Australia's leading banks, set up a private army, had things like submarines and helicopter gunships and Idi Amin's helicopter and the secret army. And it all went belly up. And of course, the inevitable happened. He went to jail and signed a book contract and for his memoirs. So I was brought in to write up his life story. And I thought there was something of a novelist about a con man when I met him, because he had created this extraordinary fiction.
The story Flanagan says he wanted to tell in his novel is about the human need to find hope in the midst of despair, as his hero attempts to reconcile his knowledge of a world so awful with a life so extraordinary.
And when I finished the painting and looked at the poor leather jacket which now lay dead on the table, I began to wonder whether, as each fish died, the world was reduced in the amount of love that you might know for such a creature. Whether there was that much less wonder and beauty left to go around as each fish was hauled up in the net. And if we kept on taking and plundering and killing, if the world kept on becoming ever more impoverished of love and wonder and beauty and consequence, what, in the end, would be left?
Empathy only goes so far. For all of the affection Richard Flanagan allows his hero to express for the subjects of his paintings, the author of Gould's Book of Fish says the fish he loves best is the one on his plate.
People laugh back home when I go out to seafood restaurants, yeah. But I love eating them.
For NPR News, I'm Tom Vitale in New York.